But it's my privilege to continue the series this morning on Make Room and making room for God's best in our lives. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Steve started this series and he spoke about how we need to make room for generosity and how we need to be intentional in being a blessing to others and those around us. And last week, Mama Dee spoke about how we need to make room for forgiveness and peace and freedom and how we need to let go of bitterness and unforgiveness and all of those things that just keep us in bondage. And what they shared and what I'm going to share with you today, I believe are really truths that we need to have rooted in our hearts continually throughout our lives. But I believe during this Christmas season, it's a wonderful time to be intentional, to make room for God's best in our lives. And to ask God if there's things that we are harboring or carrying on the inside that's not from Him and that are preventing us from experiencing His best, to really let go of it and to make room for what He has for us. So I'm very excited about it and I'm excited for this morning's message. As I was preparing for it, I was just so blessed, got convicted, and I really felt like it was more for me than anyone else. So I'm going to be preaching to myself today and hopefully you'll get something out of it. But I really believe it will be a blessing to you if you believe it and if you apply it. And we do healing school here at the church on the first Tuesday of every month. And after the healing school in November, I was driving home. And back then, I already knew that I would be preaching in December. And we already decided on the name for the series. And I was just thinking about it, making room, make room for God's best and making room. And I don't mean like I heard a voice, but just like in my spirit, it just rose up. Make room for truth. Make room for God's truth in your life. And I started to meditate on it, and I just felt like the Lord gave me two things immediately that we need to exalt truth over in our lives. And since then, I've added another one, and that is to exalt truth over lies, exalt truth over traditions, and to exalt truth over facts in our lives. It is so important that we embrace truth, that we are full of God's truth in our hearts and in our lives, and that we exalt it over everything else. And as we do, we will experience the benefits that come with truth. Because truth always produces freedom. And that is what God has for us. But I just want to give you some scriptures that talk about truth. And in John 1:14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And it's talking about Jesus here. Jesus was always known as the Word of God and still is. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's saying here, Jesus, the Word of God, became flesh. He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus came full of grace and truth, and He's still full of grace and truth. So we need to be full of grace and truth in our lives too, both of them. But I want to focus on the truth part today. And I believe when we are full of that grace and full of truth, we are actually being like Jesus. So it is very significant and very important that we make room for truth in our lives. In Psalms 51, verse 6, it says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom." So it's saying God desires for us to have truth on the inside of us. And as that truth gets on the inside of us, it will produce wisdom, the wisdom that we need in life. But God desires for us to be full of truth, to have truth in our lives. And then in John 17:17, this was where Jesus prayed for His disciples. And He said, "Father, sanctify them by your truth." So we get sanctified through truth too, through the truth of the Word. It helps us to grow. It helps us to become more like Jesus. It helps us to grow in our walk with God and in our relationship with Him. And then Jesus said, "Your Word is truth." So that is where we find truth. Many people go to life's experiences or to people's opinions to find truth. But we need to go to the written Word of God if we want to find truth. That is where we find truth. That is ultimate truth. And that is what we need to make room for in our lives. And then in Psalms 119, verse 160, it says, "The entirety of your Word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." So it's saying the entire Word of God is truth. It is true. I know many people who will believe the gospel account of Jesus. They will believe that Jesus is who He said He was, yet they won't believe a creation account in Genesis chapter 1. But for me, either the entire Word is true or the entire Word is false. And the truth is the entire Word of God is truth. And that is where we find truth in our lives. And the first thing that we need to exalt it over in our lives is lies. We need to exalt truth over lies. And the devil, our enemy, is a completely defeated foe. Jesus stripped him of all of his authority through his death, burial, and resurrection. He is completely defeated. The only weapon that he has left is deception. And the only way that he can get an inroad into your life or get a stronghold on you is if he can get you to believe his lies. That is his only weapon. Jesus said he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the only way he can do that in your life is if you start to believe his lies. So it is so important that we exalt truth over lies and that we reject lies and believe truth and we find truth in the Word of God. Otherwise, it becomes a stronghold in our lives. And 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 to 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." See, if you start to believe a lie long enough, it will become a stronghold in your mind and it will keep you in bondage. But it's saying that even if you have a stronghold, you can overcome that through the weapons that God has given us. And the most important weapon is truth. Exalting truth over lies and believing truth, embracing it, speaking it, and applying it in our lives. But this is vitally important if we want to stay free and live a victorious Christian life that God has for us. If we want to experience that, we need to exalt truth over the lies that the devil comes with. In John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" See, truth will always produce freedom in our lives. Lies will always produce bondage. And Jesus is saying here that the truth of his word will produce that freedom. There are a lot of religions and organizations or practices that believe we need to empty our minds and we just need to empty it of any thoughts or of anything. But that is actually dangerous because then it's easy for the devil to come in with his lies. We need to be full of the Word of God. We need to fill our minds with the truth of his Word so that when a lie comes, we can reject it and exalt the truth over it. I love how Pastor Steve always says that we can't keep a bird from flying over us, but we can stop it from making a nest on top of us. So you might not be able to always prevent a thought from coming to you, but you can stop it from it becoming a stronghold in your life if you choose to exalt the truth of God's word over anything that comes against you. So I want to give you today three essential truths. I called them important first, but then I realized that it's actually essential truths. And I want to remind you of these three essential truths today that will not only enable you to overcome strongholds or lies that you might have believed, they will also protect you against lies that might come into your mind. And the first one is God loves you. And I know many of you think you already know that, and I know Pastor Steve and Mama D have done an incredible job in communicating the love of God in this church and in preaching about it, but many times we know it very well in our heads, but not as well in our hearts. And we need to make sure that we believe the truth that God loves us, that he's madly in love with us. I love all people by the grace of God, even though it's not always easy, but to be honest with you, I don't like everyone. I love everyone, but I don't like everyone. But when it comes to God, he not only loves us, he likes us too. He likes who you are. He likes your company and your personality and who he created you to be. He is madly in love with you. And if you have this truth rooted in your heart, I believe it will protect you against so many lies that the devil might come or try to bring against you. For example, if you really believe that God loves you, when the devil comes with a thought that God wants you to be sick or that God wants to punish you, you will immediately reject and resist that lie because you know your Father loves you. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prayed the following prayer for the church at Ephesus, and he's saying, "And may you have a power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully." So that's amazing. We can experience something that's too great to fully understand. And then he goes on to say, "Then, as a result of that, you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." So as we experience the love of God more and as we grow in revelation of it, the Bible says we will be made complete with all the life and power, all the fullness that comes from God. So if you don't feel full of God this morning, maybe it is because you need to get a revelation of His love or grow in revelation of a great love that He has for you. And see, the devil will always try and come with lies. He will always try to tell you that God loves you, but He's actually a bit upset with you because of the mistakes you made. But that is not true. And we need to exalt the truth that He loves us over any lies that the devil might bring into our minds. So in life, it is possible to separate ourselves from God's influence, but it is impossible to separate ourselves from His love. So you might have made a lot of mistakes. Maybe you didn't always obey God, and maybe you separated yourself from His influence, which is a stupid thing to do, by the way. But the good news is you can never separate yourself from the love of God. He loves you not because of who you are, but because of who He is. And nothing can separate you from His love. But that truth needs to be rooted in our hearts. Because see, God loves you, whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not. But if you don't believe it, it won't impact your life. It won't make any difference in your life. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So even though God is madly in love with you, if you don't believe it, if that truth is not rooted in your heart, it won't really impact your life at all. So this is a truth that we need to make room for and make sure that it is always rooted in our hearts, that God is madly in love with us and He likes us and He's a good Father. And that leads me to my second truth, the second essential truth that I want to give you today, and that is that God is good. He's a good God. A.W. Tozer said, the most important thing about us is what we think about when we think about God. So what are you thinking about today when you think about God? Are you thinking of a good father, someone who loves you, someone who desires to bless you and to be good to you? Or are you thinking of someone that still gets mad every now and then, someone that wants to punish you? Because that is what the devil wants, and that is some of the lies that he will sometimes try and bring into our minds. But this is such an important truth. We need to know that God is good and only good, and He's a good Father. Good things happen to people who believe that God is good and that He loves them. I have discovered in my life, too, the more I started to really believe that God is good, the more I started to experience His favor in my life, too. The more things just effortlessly started to happen in my life because God is good. And you know, if I were to die today and go to heaven, I would go thinking I was God's favorite child. And I mean that with all of my heart. And that is not because I haven't faced difficulties or because I haven't been through storms, but it is because even when life was not good, I still believed that God was good because I exalted the truth of His word over experiences, over lies that I faced or that I went through. So we need to believe that God is good. And if you believe it in your heart, you will start to experience His favor to greater degrees as well. In 1 John 1:5, it says, this is the message which we have heard from Him, and that is Jesus. He's saying, this is the message we heard from Jesus, and now we declare it to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That is the God who we serve. He is light. He is only light. He doesn't have a bad side or a dark side. I've seen people who are very kind sometimes and are actually good-hearted, but there's an evil side that comes out every now and then. But that is not how God is. God doesn't have an evil side. He is good and only good. He is light and only light, and He desires to be good to us. But it is important that we believe His truth and that it's rooted in our hearts. And then the next, or before I go to the next one, I like to say that God is so good, He's gooder than you think. And I know that's terrible English, but man, it's brilliant theology. And I know some of you language gurus probably got ready to correct me afterwards. So, but God is so good, He's better than you think. And He's a good, good Father. So make sure that truth is rooted in your heart. It's an essential truth if we want to experience the abundant life and the victorious Christian life that God has for us. And then the last essential truth I want to give you this morning is that you have a purpose. God created you on purpose and for a purpose. And He wants to use you in life. He has things for you to do in life. He wants to flow through you to bless and touch people. And every one of you today here has a specific God-given purpose, a unique purpose that God still wants to do in your life. Many people think that it's only us who are in full-time ministry that are called of God, and that is a lie from the pit of hell. Everyone is created by God on purpose and for a purpose. And even those of you that might feel a little bit older, God still has something for you to do. As long as you are breathing, God wants to use you. And He wants to use you to touch people, to bless people, to impart wisdom to them. You have a specific purpose that God has for you. And many times the devil likes to tell us to, because we messed up or because we made mistakes, that we messed up the whole purpose that God had for us and we will never fulfill our destiny now. But that is a lie. I used to tell people that God has a plan for your life. And I believe that is absolutely correct. But technically, I believe it's better to say God has a purpose for your life, because He has many plans. If you mess up one plan, He has another plan to get you to your purpose. So if you are sitting here today and you feel condemned or ashamed because of the mistakes that you made, maybe because of the things you did or didn't do, God still has a purpose for you. And don't believe the lies of the devil. Exalt the truth of the word over those lies. And that truth is that God has a purpose for you and for your life. In Psalms 32 verse 8, it says, "The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." So the purpose that God has for us, I believe, is the best thing that could ever happen to us. Some people think if they are going to do what God is calling them to do, they're going to miss out on so much and it's not going to be fun. Well, God's will for your life might not always be the most comfortable, but it's always going to be the most fulfilling. And the word is saying here that He will guide us along the best pathway for our life. So as we seek Him and as we listen to Him and as we obey Him, we will experience such a fulfilling life in fulfilling our destiny and in pursuing the purpose that He has for us. So every one of us has a purpose from God, and that is a truth that needs to be rooted in our lives and in our hearts as well. So we need to exalt truth over lies. Whenever a lie comes, we need to resist it, and we need to exalt the truth over it. And then the second thing that we need to exalt truth over is traditions. We need to exalt truth over traditions. Now, traditions aren't always bad or negative or wrong. We have wonderful family traditions that we do over Christmas, the food that we eat, and there's nothing wrong with that. I believe it's actually special. So you can have family traditions, you can start your own traditions, that's special. But whenever a tradition contradicts the Word of God, it needs to be rejected. And the truth of the Word needs to be exalted over that tradition. Before I gave my life to Jesus and before I actually started to become a student of the Word of God, there were some things that I believed, and I just believed it because a lot of people would say it, and I thought it was in the Bible. And when I actually started reading the Bible, I discovered that some of the things that I believed, the Bible actually says the complete opposite. And I just believed it because it was a tradition. So we need to make sure that we exalt the truth over those traditions, and whatever we believe is found in the Word of God. Jesus said in Mark 7:13, "Making the Word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do." So this is a bold statement. He's saying you are making the Word of God of no effect in your life because of the traditions that you hold on to. Now think about it. It was through the Word of God that God created the universe, that He spoke the universe into being. Think of the power that is in the Word of God. And Jesus is saying that you are making it of no effect in your life if you are holding on to tradition instead of the Word of God. So tradition can be a big enemy in our lives, and we need to make sure that we believe the truth more than we do tradition if it's not found in the Word of God. So traditions aren't necessarily bad always, but if they contradict God's Word, they ought to be rejected. And in Colossians 2 verse 8, it says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." And the word "beware" there means be on guard. Be on guard against it. Be on guard against philosophies and traditions that people might share with you or that people might come up with that aren't in line with the Word of God. And the word "cheat" there means to spoil you of everything you have. So it's saying be on guard lest someone come with a tradition or a philosophy that contradicts the Word of God and they spoil you of the wonderful things that God has for you. So this is something that we need to guard against, and we need to make sure that we exalt truth over tradition. The devil wants to steal what God has given to you using the world's philosophies and the religious traditions of man. So we need to guard against it. A while ago, I had supper with a few people, and the one girl there came from a different denomination. And just out of curiosity, I asked her out about it, and I asked her what they believe and what they practice, and she shared with me. And then towards the end, she said, yeah, but it's all man-made rules. It's not really biblical. And when she said it, I was actually so sad, but I thought that is actually so true. And I'm not against any denomination. I'm just against traditions that are contrary to the Word of God. But we need to make sure that we exalt God's Word over any tradition. Even if it's popular, even if it's prevalent, we need to resist it if it's not in line with the Word of God. Many people will sometimes come to me and they will say, Janu, you are so old school in certain areas. And I know they're actually complimenting me, and I know they mean well, but I don't see it as being old school. I see it as being modern, because the Word of God for me is not old school. It is modern. And I don't care if the whole world starts seeing it as old school. For me, it will always be modern. For me, it will always be truth, and I will always embrace and exalt it in my life over everything else. And as you do, the Word of God will start to produce the freedom and all the promises that God has for you, if we exalt it over everything else, including traditions that people might come up with. And many times I talk with people too, and they'll say, yeah, the Bible says this, or the Bible says that. And as they do, I just start to think, I wonder, where does it say that? It must be found in the book of Hesitations. And for those of you who don't know, that's not a real book in the Bible. But see, that's traditions that people come up with that are not found in the Word of God. And we need to make sure that truth is rooted in our hearts, not traditions or philosophies that are not in line. Otherwise, it will nullify the promises of God in our lives. We need to exalt truth over traditions and philosophies if we want to experience all the promises that God has for us. Then the last thing I want to give you today that we need to exalt truth over is we need to exalt truth over facts. Look at your neighbor and say, truth over facts. We need to exalt the truth of God's Word over facts in our lives. And you might wonder, what's the difference? Well, truth is found in the Word of God, as we already saw. Facts are things that we experience in life or things that happen to us, and they are not lies and they are real things, but we can still exalt truth over facts. So, for example, you might go to the doctor, they might give you a report, and that is a fact. That can be a fact in your life. It might be a fact that you are sick or you're struggling with something or you're having pain in your body, and faith is not denying or ignoring facts. We're not talking about Christian Science here. It's not denying or ignoring that, but faith is exalting the truth of God's Word over facts. Truth never changes. Facts can. If we embrace the truth, if we believe it and we apply it in our lives, and if we exalt it over everything else, it can change the facts in our lives. Sometimes people will tell me they know the Word of God says that God wants them well, and they know that the Word promises healing, but they are just so sick and they just have a lot of pain and they don't know if they're going to make it. What they are actually doing is they are exalting facts over truth. Other times they'll come to me and say they know that the Word of God promises provision and that God wants them to prosper financially, but they are so poor they can't even pay attention. They don't know what they're going to do. And they are also exalting facts over truth. Now remember, faith is not denying facts. But what we should say rather is, I went to the doctor and it's not looking good. They did everything they can. I am sick. That is a fact. But the truth of the Word says, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And I choose to exalt that over facts. See, I'm not against natural reports, but that doesn't have to be the final report in your life. It might be a fact that you are struggling financially today. Maybe you are very nervous about the new year too. You don't really know what's going to happen. And maybe that's a big fact in your life. But truth shouts to you today that God supplies all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that the blessing of the Lord makes rich and He adds no sorrow with it. Or when you seek the kingdom of God first, everything else you need will be added unto you. See, but whatever is on the other side of your butt is what you really believe. So rather say, I know I am sick, or I know I'm struggling financially, but the truth of the Word says this, and I am standing on it. And as you do, as you are exalting that truth over facts, it can change any fact in your life. In Isaiah 53, verse 1, it says, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So it's talking here about God's report. Just like we can get natural reports, God also has a report. And we find his report in the truth of his word. And it's saying here, when we believe his report, we will experience his arm. And his arm, where he's talking about his manifested power. When we believe a report of a word over every other report, we will experience his manifested power in our lives. So you might have facts in your life, you might have reports in your life, but if you choose to exalt God's report over those reports, you can change those facts. And the manifested power of God will cause the facts to change in your life. It depends all on which one will you exalt in your life, which one will you magnify, the truth or the facts. Truth is always stronger, but we need to exalt it in order for that truth to change the facts in our lives. And I want to give you the example of how Abraham magnified truth over facts in his life. In Romans chapter 4, verse 18, it says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So Abraham had some difficult facts to deal with here. He was about 100 years old when God told him he was going to be the father of many nations. And another translation says that Sarah's womb was as good as dead. Now, those were facts. And remember, faith is not denying or ignoring facts. Abram didn't deny it. He didn't ignore it. But he chose to magnify the word of God, the truth of God's word, over those facts. And as he did, the promise that God gave him came to pass in his life. So maybe you are facing difficult facts today, but as you choose to magnify the truth of his word, his report more in your heart, the promises that he gave you will come to pass in your life too, just like he did for Abraham. It is so important that we exalt truth over everything else in our lives, including the facts of life. It doesn't matter what those facts are. Truth can change the strongest of facts. Truth can change the hardest of facts, but we need to exalt it over those facts in order for it to do that. And it doesn't matter whether it's talking about exalting truth over lies, truth over tradition, or truth over facts. We just need to exalt truth, embrace it, and apply it in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talked about the spiritual weapons that God gave us. And he links every spiritual weapon to a weapon that a Roman soldier wore. And he says, put on the whole armor of God, the full of Waffenrüstung, put it on you. And the first weapon he mentions is the belt of truth. And he actually links the belt of a Roman soldier to the truth of God's word, to the written word of God. He then goes on to mention some of the other weapons that we have, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. And those weapons were more spectacular than the belt. For example, I'm sure if there were phones back then, a Roman soldier wouldn't have messaged his mom and told her, Mom, I just got a belt. He probably would have told her, you should see my helmet or my breastplate or my shield. Those were more fascinating and more spectacular. But a very interesting fact is that the belt was the most important weapon. It wasn't the most spectacular weapon, but it was the most important one. Because a lot of the other weapons were attached to the loin belt. If a Roman soldier would take off his loin belt, a lot of the other weapons would just fall off too. So it wasn't the most fascinating one, but it was the most important one. And he links that belt to the truth of God's word, to the written word of God. And that is so true of the word of God too. It's not always the most spectacular thing. Sometimes we would like to see healings or miracles or experience the gifts of the Spirit more than we would like to read the word of God or to learn about the word of God. But the word of God is the most important. Because even those other weapons like our sense of righteousness or the shield of faith, the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God. And you will grow in your sense of righteousness as you learn more of what the word has to say about it. So the word of God is the most important weapon in our lives. And as we read it, as we embrace it, as we exalt it over everything else, it will be like a belt that gets tightened around us. And it will protect us against anything else. It will also enable the other weapons to be in place in our lives. But in order for it to do that, we need to exalt it. And we need to make room for it in our lives. And I want to encourage you, especially during this festive season, make room for God's word. Doesn't mean you have to read quantities and quantities every day, but just spend time in it. Choose to believe it, embrace it, and exalt it over the things that you might face in life. And it will cause you to experience all or everything that God has for you. Make room for the truth of God's word in your life. And in Colossians 3, verse 16, it says that the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And it's impossible for the word of God to dwell richly in us if we don't spend time in it, and if we don't embrace it, and if we don't meditate on it. So as we do, it will start to dwell richly in us. It will protect us against lies, traditions, and facts that might come against us. And it will cause us to have a wisdom we need to overcome anything. And I'm going to come land now, but I want to give you a key that will really help you to always have truth as a priority in your life. And it will help you to always have truth, not only as a defensive weapon, but also as an offensive weapon. It will help you and it will protect you in life. And that is to choose to make God's word final authority in your life. That means whatever the word says goes. Whatever the word says is what you believe, what you embrace, and what you exalt in your life. Choose in your heart that you are going to make God's word final authority in your life. And if you are here today and you have doubted the word of God, or you have doubted parts of the word of God, I want to encourage you to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I doubted your word. I'm sorry that I doubted truth. But today I choose to make it final authority in my life, because I want to exalt truth over everything else in life. I want to see your word as ultimate truth, because it supersedes everything else. Amen.